Forever Dog.
Rose and Jamie are two best friends,
and they love Sex and the City.
And they couldn't help but wonder,
do you love it too?
Carrie,
Miranda,
Samantha,
Charlotte,
Cosmos,
Emotions,
Frenchies,
dudes.
So many dudes.
Every little dude.
All the dudes.
And we couldn't help but wonder.
With Jamie Lee
and Rose Cerno.
I'm Jamie Lee.
And I'm Skylar Hanrath.
And this is
Couldn't Help But Wonder. A podcast where we talk about Sex and the City and how it relates
to us.
Hello.
All right. Hello, Skylar Hanrath.
How are you?
What if I started putting the emphasis on the back?
Yeah,
half
yeah.
Of
I love to move
name.
An emphasis around.
What if I was.
Jamili.
Jamili and.
Yeah.
And Hanrath.
It's fun to have fun.
It is. You know what?
Name.
It is fun to have fun.
I'm gonna say it.
I was like, oh, I'm just getting tired of saying the same name for you over and over. I got to change it up.
And I insist. I do. I want first name, last name. If I'm going to be spoken to.
We have fun. We do have fun, guys. Girls, people listening, today we are doing another fabulous mailbag episode because we got so many awesome questions from listeners. So we are going to keep going answering those questions. And then next week, are we wrapping this up? Is that the
plan? I believe so.
Yeah, what are you feeling?
That's currently the plan. So, yes, listeners, Rose is out today. I don't know doing what.
We don't know
Something
why.
Exciting.
She, we
yeah,
don't
she
know
just
why,
says,
but
we got
I
a
feel
very
like
cryptic,
it's big.
Yeah, we got a very cryptic letter in the mail saying I won't be available.
Guys, we didn't really get that.
No, just, no, no, no.
Just an email.
Yeah.
Very short and pleasant. I am seeing her tomorrow night because it's
yeah.
her birthday.
Okay. But that's all to say that, yes, we're all three of us going to do one more wrap-up mailbag because I'm sure listeners have noticed when we've done this, we answer like two questions.
Yeah, we don't get through many questions
in
one
episode. We like to make a meal of it, yeah.
We do. We really do.
But then, yes, so we'll do all three of us together, and then we're going to go on hiatus and retool, rework, reimagine. Really just, we're going to go into hibernation, then we're going to emerge as a beautiful new format, butterfly. It's going to be lovely.
That's right. Do butterflies hibernate?
I consider the chrysalis stage.
It was a mix. Okay. It was a mixed metaphor, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Here. Okay. I don't know what I'm saying. Guys, it's fine.
You.
Everything's fine. Who was I this week? I was... God. Really stumped here. I guess a little bit of a Carrie when she was like going on a bunch of dates around town. I didn't go on a bunch of dates, but I did go see Old.
I saw Old. We gotta talk Old. Yeah, let's talk Old.
Let's talk Old.
The beach makes them old.
The beach.
Listeners.
Oh, this is a spoiler alert, by the way. We should say that.
Well, this part isn't.
Especially...
This part
well,
is in
that,
the trailer.
Well, that part is in the yeah. trailer. It's a beach that makes people old. But what I feel like we're about to get into might be spoiler territory, which honestly, if you can't make it to the theater, I say keep listening because I don't know that it's worth seeing in the theater. But also it's such a hot shit of a movie that like, I don't know. In a way, it's almost impressively stupid or something. But then also parts of it are enjoyable.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place on like this stage of M. Night Shyamalan at the moment.
Okay, what do you
Glass.
Mean by this?
Well, he did Glass most recently, which is like
people
interesting,
liked.
But like, sorry?
I thought people liked Glass.
I like Glass. Well, but it's interesting, but it's like really like small scale and like it's not. I think a lot of people were disappointed because it's like really talky and it's like it's not the most exciting conclusion to this weird trilogy that he's created. But and then before that, he did Split, which is like a surprising sequel
oh,
to
that's the one,
one of
I
his
saw.
Early movies.
Unbreakable.
Yeah. And yeah. And but he's just in this kind of weird place where now he's like financing his own stuff and kind of just like trying to move
away. He financed that?
I don't know if he financed all of Old, but he financed Split personally because he like had this whole period where because he did like After Earth and the Avatar adaptation, both of which like bombed like crazy. Mm. And he was like, I need to have a little more skin in the game, be a little more invested. And so he like started putting up his own money and like making these like low budget Blumhouse movies because he did The Visit before that too, and he got it.
He got better.
I mean, his stuff like he got back to like basics, like doing like kind of exciting thriller stuff, which I think is cool. But I think I don't know. Old is interesting. I think Old looks very pretty. I think the like I think it's like well shot. I think it looks pretty good, but I.
It looked okay.
Yeah, I just thought it was okay. Like, I thought it was like a nice, like sun-dappled, like kind of use of a tropical location. Like
that's a good point.
Warm cinematography.
And it's cool to have a movie that takes place on a beach. Like
yes, absolutely.
There aren't many of those. Like The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio, which was also a real stinky stinker. I think if I had to choose my favorite beach movie of those two, I prefer Old.
Yeah. I think I was okay on I think like the center of it is so like bleak and kind of upsetting and just like interminable, where it's just like it really does become a like what if we just explore this premise for like a good hour 20 basically of like
yeah
everyone's gonna get old and everyone's going to die and that's just what we're gonna watch.
Okay, can we talk about something? I don't know if this happened to you, but I think I started to feel a little stressed by the timeline. Okay, actually I might have a question for you. I think this is a question, but I also might know the answer, but you can also answer it for me. So the kids are developing at a very rapid rate.
Yes.
You know, they are like, it's like 1 year is 20 minutes or something. Yeah, something like that.
It's one year every half hour.
1 year every half hour for the children. But the parents kind of were going slow there for a minute. And I was confused by that. I remember they made some comment about like cell turnover, but I missed the full justification. I was kind of like, wait, what? So I feel like the parents were like aging pretty quickly until the very end when they were like about to die. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of stressed out by like the special effects element of like when everybody's aging. Can yes. you explain why the adults don't age as fast as the kids?
I think the effects just aren't as consistent there. Cause I think everybody is aging at the same rate, but it's the thing where adults,
like the adults felt real. I was like, yeah. Oh, they're aging in real time. There's like one new wrinkle every time they're on camera and it's super yeah. subtle.
Well, that's the thing though. Cause like when you're a kid, obviously you go through changes much more
yes.
rapidly.
Yes.
It's all concentrated.
Oh, and then,
in the front.
And that's true. And then they stayed at like Nat Wolf and the other girl for a while because yes. once you hit that age, you don't start changing as rapidly.
Yes. And they're the only ones who just logically could survive as long as everyone else, given that everybody's going to make it to like 80, maybe at the most. Like all the adults are already like closer to 80. And that's why they die mm-hmm, before mm-hmm. the kids.
But why did the baby die?
Why
did that girl die in the water in the beginning? Like we said, guys, spoiler alert.
Well, the girl
with
dies
the nosebleed rapper.
The girl, with what is his name? Midsize Sedan, a great rapper name. Just totally bizarre.
I understand that M. Night has a sense of humor. He seems to want to get into comedy a little more. He's definitely working it into his movies more deliberately. And some of it, he's funny. I mean, he's sort of funny.
Well, I think he's not funny, but I think he tries to be funny. And
I mean,
kinda
I want to be clear, Sky. I don't laugh at him. I appreciate the attempt,
yes.
but it feels very green. Like even yes. when he gave, okay, I do want to circle back to my question about the rapper, but really quick, as an example of M. Night Shyamalan humor is when he had the sort of like 1990s, like blonde bimbo girl
yes.
say like, I have like a calcium problem or
yes.
whatever. But she said it in the way like you would make fun of a woman for like being on keto or like
yes.
green juices. Like it was really kind of misogynistic, honestly.
Yes.
And then But then it ended up coming back around. I was like, oh, okay. But like to choose calcium, I thought it was weird how she was complaining about a calcium deficiency in an airhead way.
Yes.
I was like, oh, are you making fun of a type of person who like talks like this about their green juice? Or are you like, it's like, no, she actually legitimately had a calcium deficiency.
Yeah. And the way that she ends up dying, I think is truly probably the most horrifying
beat
of the whole movie. It's really good. It's really scary. Yeah. Like her and
it was fucking cool. I was like, that is a good idea. That is smart.
It's really, but that's also what I mean too. When I mean that the whole center is just like kind of bleak and upsetting where it's like, it becomes very punishing. It's just everybody dying.
It is punishing
for a while.
I know, and it's almost to the point where when a new person dies and everyone's like, so-and-so died. It's like, yeah, guys, everyone's dying. All are like used to it by now. Like you guys shouldn't be as shocked when people die.
Oh, but as for the reason why Mitsai Sedan's, the woman he met at the hotel and then went to the beach with died, she dies in the same way that, the guy who swims out dies, where like, if you swim out, you're aging at the same rate. So you just pass out basically. Like you get old, you get weaker, and then you can't you can't make the same swim. It's also part of the reason that the kids like succeed doing it because they're younger and they go and they know the thing about the coral where it's like, I don't fully understand why the coral is this passageway, but I also was happy to have a little bit of a reprieve from
I was thankful that it, thank God for the coral just to like get us out of the punishment.
Yes.
But I also don't understand the logic there. I'm going to poke holes in what you said just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
If people die at a more rapid rate in the water, then why did her body wash up on shore looking pretty banging?
I don't know. I don't know. Because it's all over the place. Cause
I was expecting her to be like a hag. I thought that would be cool.
Then she becomes a hag too. She does become just that rib cage. Like there's a genuinely cool shot from inside of her rib cage when they take off the
That was cool. It's like dinosaur remains. Yeah. It was really cool.
But yeah, I think the internal logic's a little bit all over the place.
And the nose bleeding was confusing.
Yes, absolutely.
There's certain stuff where you're like, oh man, this is like if you just. Yeah, I'm sure he has someone, but like if he had a team of like hole pokers in his script, literally he needs a you. He needs Skylar Harris to come in.
We're just going to do a logic pass entirely.
He needs a logic and it would do so much because his twists are so interesting. And I think there's like commentary there and like it was interesting. It's like, what's more ethical? Like letting all these people around the world die or like killing a few to like get medicine for everybody,
which is actually like a totally interesting premise. And it's a little
super interesting. I wish that was the movie. It's so interesting.
That's the thing where it's like, I kind of like it. I came away like ultimately liking it.
Me too. I think I did like it actually.
Yeah. Just because I like sort of, on a conceptual level, I think it's pretty cool, but the actual like execution's a little frustrating.
I think I did like it. Oh my God. I think I liked it.
Yeah, we're pretty
old. I really came here to say how I didn't, but I now talking about it, I'm like, it's kind of fucking good.
It's also, I must say, I'm really into, I think I'm really enjoying this current small, like mini trend of like, daytime very bright horror movies, because Midsommar is the other one that I think of too.
I'm one of my favorites.
Yeah, the whole time we're just gonna find ways to terrify you in the daylight. Yeah, which I think is cool. It's an interesting writing exercise problem, basically.
You are so right. Yeah, it doesn't always have to be at night. That's such a good point. And also, I mean, yeah, we were talking about this in the writer's room, and my showrunner was just saying like,
you guys are doing an old episode.
Well, no,
but
he literally has seen every single movie ever made ever. Like, honestly, like you and him, oh, you would love each other. But he was saying what I thought was a really good point was like, you know, if you take the premise of Big and make it a horror movie, it's like kind of genius. Like,
yes, absolutely.
It's real simple.
Well, that's also one of the things, too, where it's like,
or 13 going on 30 or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's also the relationship between It's one of the reasons that, obviously outside of just being such a talented person, but it's one of the reasons that like Jordan Peele is like this incredible figure in horror. Comedy and horror are not that far away from each other. They're like, they build on, they succeed best when they're surprising. They build on tension and release. Like it's right.
Which is comedy.
Yeah. Which is like, it makes a lot of sense that they play in similar areas. They don't have the exact same ends, which I kind of love. And I think it's really cool. Like Ari Aster's stuff is funny. Like there's like Hereditary That's and true. Midsommar are like upsetting. They have very disturbing moments, but they also have like very funny moments. It's like, they're not that far away.
No, I agree with that. I think also, yeah, I also don't think one genre precludes another. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it makes it better because, I mean, the same thing for just like heavy dramas. You're always like, but life isn't a heavy drama. Like my dad just died and I'm still finding things to laugh at or like noticing that a funny thing happened. Like, I just don't know why horror movies always have such a like a, well, now we're seeing more that are genre bending, but for so long, even the I'm talking about it like magic, even in the what's it called, the what's the lead up to the magic trick,
the prestige,
the turn, prestige, the prestige before the horror, like even that is just like really like not funny. It's like you're just like sitting around in a house and everyone's depressed and like moody and drinking coffee and staring out the window. And it's like, no, like have that part feel like real life. Have it be
absolutely
funny or fun or weird or whatever it is. Like, because then when it goes dark, you're like, whoa, that is a shift. And like, you're really excited by that shift.
I also think it's like a particular attitude thing. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of people are resistant to like the mixing of genres and like want their horror to just be horror, want their comedy to just be comedy.
Right,
and like
an
action comedy or a horror comedy like doesn't always work for everybody. But I think that you and definitely me like really think it's interesting when the two can blend successfully. And I also agree with you on the point of like life when it's when you have heavy upsetting events in it. At least for me, I certainly also deal with it by like, I have to laugh at it because I'm just like, this is insane. I can't believe this thing has happened. Like, I got into a car accident once, like in high school, that could have been bad, like came close to being bad, wasn't bad. We were all fine. But we got out of the car and like were laughing because it was like such a like crazy thing that just happened. But it was also like, this is how we're all processing this thing that just happened. And it's like, I like when movies can represent that bizarre thing. So so many of my favorite movies are like have elements of comedy written into them while not necessarily being like hard comedies.
And yeah,
I like that a lot.
Well, also like I think horror is I think so much could be done in the horror space.
Yes.
And I'm hoping it expands a little more because I think it doesn't have to just be like The Conjuring, you know? It's there's just so much more that can be done, which is why everyone's so obsessed with Ari Aster is because he could do this, but he could also break out and I could see him totally doing like a Softie Brothers, like Uncut Gems type movie.
Yeah,
I could see him doing a harder comedy. Like, I don't know.
His next movie is called Disappointment Boulevard at the moment.
Oh,
like,
that's
it's like
right.
such a funny title. Like it's like, I think he 1,000% agrees with you too, where it's like, let's play with all the genres a little bit, which I think is so cool about that guy.
Yeah. I'm writing a horror movie. Well, you know that. I think you know that. I'm writing a horror movie with Dan, my ex-husband, current very good friend. I am happy
current
to report. Current collaborator, but we're writing a movie. And it's like horror comedy and it's really hard to write because you have to do the math of the plot holes.
Yes.
Which I've got to say, I'm proud of us for doing it because we almost didn't start writing it for a really long time because I was like, that doesn't make sense. That's a dead end. That's a misdirection. It's going to annoy an audience. Like there's so much math in horror movies.
Yes.
And I think you have to have a lot of patience to literally diagram it all out and make sure everything connects.
Yes.
And even if it's like you're hitting it over the head a little too hard and like maybe being a little too like expositional with it. I'm not sure. I think that's better than not tying the loop. And I will say, even though I didn't enjoy it in the moment, M. Night Shyamalan, I appreciated those moments where someone was just telling us what's happening.
Yeah.
They're like, where they
you
just
need
lay
an
it
info
out.
Dump for a high premise.
You need an
like,
info
you just
dump.
Need it.
And you're not, yeah, you just want the information. You don't care how you get it. You just yes. want it. So if it comes out kind of in a clunky monologue, you're like, okay, well, at least I know. Whereas if you try to leave the monologue out, which is sort of like the indie approach, is like, let the audience figure it out. You're like, yeah. fuck you. Like, do your job as a filmmaker to tell me what I'm supposed to know.
Yeah. Or you do the like cutesy, like even like I like Get Out, obviously such an incredible movie, but even Get Out has to explain itself at times. Like
you I
have,
watched it.
You have the video sequences where like Steven Root
I
is like
was
speaking.
I was just yeah. talking about that. I was just saying that to Dan because we're writing this movie and I was like, you know what? I just rewatched Get Out on an airplane. And that shit is heavy handed.
Yes.
He yeah. is placed in a chair and then you watch him watch a movie
yes.
that literally says you
Explains
may not know what's going
what's
on.
Happening. Yep.
And then it's Steven Root. Or no. Yeah. Steven Root. Is that
well,
name?
There's Steven Root is the is
there's
the blind
two parts.
Character. And then Catherine Keener explains as well, I believe, at a certain point. I haven't seen it in a while. I believe those
yeah,
are the two.
Yeah. Well,
do
there's
the
a movie
dumps.
That explains like the Armitages with like
yeah.
the butterfly like coming out of the cocoon or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then they circle back. So you actually watch it like two or three times, I want to say.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh, man. But when you're watching it, you're not going, oh, OK, guys, you're going, oh, OK, wow. Thank you for telling me.
It's also a testament to, and guys, we're seconds away from getting to who I am this week. I mean, I love this, but it's also a testament to like, info dumps are necessary in high premise stuff, I think, but doing them artfully is like one of the best things you can do. Like if you can engage the audience in while also getting a bunch of exposition out.
I totally
like,
agree.
It,
yep.
It elevates
what,
your
what
work
a gift.
So much so.
100%. Yeah. 100%. But if you were writing a movie and you couldn't find a cool, slick way to do it, just do it. Because
yes.
it's better than not.
And there's also like, I feel like there's like an easy, like you could rank the worst ways to do it. It's like, don't do it in a big black title card with
right.
like a paragraph of text. Like,
yes.
There are good and bad ways to do it. And like, it's also like all of this stuff. It's all in execution. Like,
everything's execution.
Yeah, like the best version of it is the Get Out version. You have an artful, exciting, grabby version of it, but
such
really, you just have these characters just delivering info.
How did Get Out not win every
it's
Oscar?
Brilliant. It should have won
when
Best
you,
Picture that year.
I mean,
yeah,
it is insane. Who won
1,000%.
Best Picture that year?
That was the Shape of Water year.
Oh my God.
2017.
Now, you know, I did like Shape of Water. I feel like you didn't, right?
I'm okay. I didn't hate it.
Okay.
But it was also a year like that's an incredible year of movies and Get Out feels like this thing that's going to like have this legacy. And then it didn't win Best Picture. But a lot of like
I
great
mean,
movies don't
is,
win Best Picture.
Look, Shape of Water, I really enjoyed when I was watching it. I was like, that was a good movie. I was in the theater with someone who really hated it. So I know that it's polarizing, I guess. But Get Out is like such a more interesting triumph of film, and it is truly genre bending, and we had not seen that at that
yes.
point. And I mean he literally created his own genre of like social horror. Like, it's so interesting.
Yeah, he also like cemented himself as like his new movie just got announced.
And
he's only made two films, and it's already branded as From the Mind of Jordan Peele. Like, that's how quickly he is a brand.
Oh,
he is like this identified, brilliant, singular
From
person.
The mind of, that is the ultimate compliment.
It,
if
yeah,
someone ever
amazing.
Said From the Mind of Jamie Lee, I'd be like, oh my God.
You'll get there.
Can die happy now.
But he did win Best Screenplay for that, though, so which I feel like
yeah,
is always like a good, like, it is like still recognition.
Come
it
on.
Is an Oscar.
He didn't win Best Direction. I mean, that's insane. Every shot is so beautiful.
Guillermo del Toro won Best Director.
All right. I mean, look, that to me, that's like, I mean, that's robbery. It's just, it was beautifully directed. Don't get me wrong. This is why the Oscars is stupid, because both things are true.
Yes.
Shape of Water was beautifully directed. So was Get Out. But Get Out is like a triumph.
Yes. Well, I mean, one of my all-time favorite movies did not win Best Picture, but it was like, it was right up for, and it won screenplay, The Social Network. It lost to The King's Speech this year.
Oh, you love that movie.
Yeah, I love, love, love The Social Network. Yeah. But another screenplay winner.
Yeah. That to me is like a little like, here you go. Like, yeah. Here's your consolation. I just don't like that. I mean, yeah. By the way, if I won a screenwriting Oscar, I'd be fucking through the roof excited, but like... Yeah, right. I just think
there is the big prize, like we know. Yeah.
Well, there are some things where you're like, the writing was great, but there's so much more that made that movie so elevated. It's
1,000%.
I just don't know how you can't recognize more pieces of it than just the writing. Anyway.
1,000%.
Okay, who are you this week?
I was thinking about who I was on the drive back from, I did platelets this morning.
Oh, right.
And I decided I was Carrie when she goes to the cabin with Aiden. Because she was not prepared for the cabin. And the other day, a friend of mine who's a pilot, like was in town, and he was like, "Hey, I really want to go to the Hollywood sign." He wanted to go like photograph something on the Hollywood sign, and I was like, "Okay, great. Let's do that." And then what he really meant was like, "Let's go on a real deal hike to behind the Hollywood sign at like 10 in the morning."
Oh yeah. Oh, you got roped into a hike. Oh,
yeah, I was not expecting it. It was a round
trip.
That's
what that picture was on Instagram with you with your little hat.
Yeah. It was hat season out here. Me and Bodhi up on top of Mount Hollywood.
I love that. That made me laugh so hard.
But yeah, much like Carrie, I was surprised by nature. And it can happen to us all.
My
God. I had a
great
time, though, ultimately. I survived. I had a great time. I've only been up there.
I survived. Yeah. You're so funny.
I've only been up there twice.
It's not that hard
beautiful.
Of a hike.
It's really,
it
no,
is
no.
beautiful.
It was pretty mellow. But it was just like like when Carrie got surprised by the squirrel at the cabin. I was like, oh, we're going to go to the top of the mountain. You want to keep going? Okay. Just keep going.
Yeah. People do love their hikes out here. It's always just the thing that I don't love is that it's so dusty.
It is very
dusty. Dust element. Yeah, I wish it were more like rocks that you could climb. That would be fun.
Yeah. We had bathed Bodhi like 2 or 3 days ago, and he's already had another bath because he went to, we also took him to the dog park for the first time, and he got slobbered on by a bunch of other dogs. And he was very cute. He did great, but he got real dirty.
Good.
And he needed.
Yeah.
He needed
again,
a,
the dog parks, they're also really
they're dusty.
It's just fucking dusty out here. All right, let's get into these listener questions. Guys, this is the Sex and the City podcast, and we are going to take you right back to Sex and the City. Okay, enough talking about old. Let's talk about the core four. All right, we're going to start with a question from Winter Wonders 1 asks, if you were recasting the show today, who would you pick for the core four? Do you think they could have still been friends if Charlotte voted for Trump? Would Charlotte let her daughters date Brady? Oh, my God.
I like these three. These are three very distinct.
Oh, my God. Wait, can I have to commend you, Winter Wonders 1. I love a spinoff of Charlotte's kids and Brady being friends.
I do,
friends.
Too. Yes,
love 100%. The children of Sex and the City. What a genius pitch. Damn, I want to take that into HBO.
Brady just won the science fair. He's hot shit. He is.
He just won a science fair.
We're just getting around town, around Brooklyn.
Okay, if we were recasting the show today, who would we pick for the core four? Okay, so they're in their 30s. Because that's like, who are some like people, what would be an interesting pack?
But is it like... in the 90s, or is it 2021? We're
like,
selecting new 30-somethings.
I'm gonna make an executive decision and say it's 2021,
okay.
And it's a new batch of 30-year-old women, or women in their 30s to 40s. Because Samantha, I think, was in her 40s when it started. So, okay, who would be our Samantha?
Who would be a good Samantha?
I think
I feel like I want to pull like an old SNL person. I think Heidi Gardner would be a fun Samantha. I really like Heidi Gardner.
That's a really fun choice.
She's so funny.
She is. Heidi Gardner as Samantha. Okay, I'm into that.
That's a very similar type. Those are two like...
You think so?
I think they're just in terms of like blonde, funny, white women, basically.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that's thing that's tough to come up with the Samantha is because Samantha is so specific.
This is
and
true.
And like how the way she speaks, like, oh, dart, like all of that. But again, this is the reboot or not reboot. This is like the new
this
class.
Is our 2021.
So we can't try to reverse fit Heidi into the Samantha role. It's not fair to Heidi. So, yeah. Okay, fine. We'll say Heidi is Samantha. I'm going to say Charlotte would be. We have to add some diversity to our cast.
We do. They should have done it in the 90s. We can do it now.
Yeah.
In 2021.
So I'm going to say Charlotte could be. Let's come back to Charlotte. Who's our Carrie? What about like Zazie Beetz?
I was thinking Zazie Beetz too. I love her. Okay. She's great. She.
Okay. So she's our Carrie.
Yeah. She's a great Carrie. She's.
Ooh. Yeah. Or I like that a lot. Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz. Also super fun. I think I tipped toward Zazie Beetz in the Kravitz
Carrie
Zazie
role.
Beetz. Yeah. But I like both. Either way, you're winning. Either way, that cast is coming together. Zazie and Heidi. Are you kidding me?
I'm thinking Jillian Bell would be an interesting Charlotte.
I like Jillian Bell. Yeah, that feels fun. I'm trying to think.
Or like Merritt Weaver.
Love Merritt Weaver. Merritt Weaver's a little, she's like in her 40s, though, I want to say. Not that that's
a
problem,
that
but
works,
I'm just trying to think. She's just to get the ages.
I think that works.
Yeah, she rules.
I think our cast has a little more age diversity as well.
Sarah Silverman. What about Sarah Silverman? It's a little bit of a different, it's a little off, but I also like harder
as Charlotte,
comedy.
That would be hilarious. Oh, I love Sarah Silverman.
I think that feels really fun.
Okay, and then who is our Miranda? Bryce Dallas Howard? Keep it...
Bryce Dallas Howard, very fun.
Keep Isla it Fisher, redhead.
Keep it red hair. All the red hair. All the redheads.
Or pull from the original show and up Lucy Liu's part. She could be really fun as Miranda.
Yeah, I like Lucy Liu.
I mean, it's a fucking crazy replacement, but this is fantasy.
I like the zag. That's a fun core
it's
four.
A big zag.
I want to see that core four.
So it's Zazie. So we've come up. Zazie Beetz is significantly younger than the rest.
Yeah, I think we have these people.
I think we have to age up.
Would not be friends.
I think we can do Zazie. Yeah, we have to replace Zazie. Maybe Tiffany Haddish.
She is 30. Oh yeah, Tiffany Haddish is great. Absolutely.
As Carrie.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she doesn't, you wouldn't expect her in that role. Or Ali Wong.
What about Rebecca Hall?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Or not Rebecca Hall. Wait, Rebecca, who am I thinking of?
Rebecca Hall, I love. I don't think she's like
Regina
fun
Hall
enough.
Is who I'm thinking of.
Love
Regina Hall.
Hall. Okay.
She also brilliantly
perfect.
Funny.
Perfect. She's brilliantly funny. So Regina Hall as Carrie. We have Sarah Silverman playing Charlotte. Love. That is some really beautiful casting. And then who's our... And then Miranda's Lucy Liu?
Yeah. And then we have Heidi Gardner as
she
Samantha.
Is young.
That's too
that's
young,
okay.
I feel like.
You think so?
Well, because so much about Samantha is her owning her sexuality at her age. She's older than the other four. So I think we need someone in 40, 50s. Maybe Kate McKinnon? Is that that feels obvious. I feel like I'm going very lateral off of the blonde white woman.
I know, that's okay. Like, I mean, I would love to just put Kate McKinnon in anything. She's definitely not 40s, 50s, but I'm into it. I think we should do that.
What about Anna Gasteyer?
That is fun. Or Molly Shannon.
She's in the show, though. But I would love if they upped her role because she's
we didn't do a great job of like the new class because none of these people are new to the screen really, but I still like it. I think we did a good job.
I think that realistically we would have to sit down with this, we'd have to put up a full list
truth is you could do the younger generation, you could do the 20 like people in their 20s version, which I'm sure has been pitched.
I was also gonna say Girls Trip is like functionally a core four that is like the series version of Girls Trip would be a sort of contemporary Sex and the City. Like, I feel like
that's true
is a model to try to mine. But anyway, I think we've got to start. I think we got the ball rolling. Would Charlotte have voted for Trump?
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't really. I don't think she would.
I don't think she would either.
No. I don't think she would. I think she'd hate him.
I think she would find him gauche and repulsive. Like embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I don't.
Yeah, he is gauche. She's not like classy enough for her.
No, he was another person in the show.
She definitely votes based on the candidate, I think.
Yeah.
I don't see her. She's not a registered Democrat.
But she strikes me as 1,000% like Hillary bumper sticker. Loved Biden, has always been like, he's love like, Biden, loved him as VP. Loved him.
She loved
him
Biden.
In his off years. Yeah.
Okay. Going to our next question. Sophie Sprinkles Bakery. Ooh, sounds delicious. Asks if Carrie had ever decided to have a baby, which guy from the show do you think she would have picked / who would have been the best choice to be the dad? I have my answer, but I don't know.
Well, I think the person who would be the dad is the one who ends up being a dad and who you get to see being a dad. It would be Aiden. Yeah. He's just like,
I'm going to say, okay. Yes. That does make sense. To me, that is probably that's probably the right choice.
It also, I'm acknowledging, it feels like the obvious choice.
It is the obvious choice. Yeah. No, it is the obvious choice. That was my first thought was Aiden. I do think Big would actually be a great dad because I think it would change him. And I think that
I could see that.
I think it would change him. Because I think he'd be having the baby later in life when he actually does have space for that. Mm-hmm. Whereas young Big would be absolutely not. Or he would just pay for their abortion or whatever, however he handles it. He's definitely paid for some abortions. No question.
Yeah, the man.
But because it would be happening later in his life, I actually sort of in the way he made space for Carrie eventually as he matured. I think he could make that same space for a child. And I actually think he would be so funny and cool as a dad.
I agree. I could see that.
If it happened earlier in his life, no, he would not be able to handle it. But I think as an older man, he has that attitude of just what am I doing?
I also think that
older. I want to settle down.
Yeah. Well, I also think that outside of all the other problems with the second movie, one thing that isn't really a problem is it seems to me anyway, in actuality is big sort of attitude. He's gotten a little more chill. When Carrie kisses Aiden, he's a little rude about it because he's hurt, but he comes back, he acknowledges they've cheated. They're both human beings who have these flaws. He's capable of being self-aware. And I think that he would bring knowledge of his failures to being a parent, which I think would be something and good. And I agree with you. I think the obvious choice is Aiden, but I think that Big would be a surprising solid dad. I think Burger would be very bad. I think Burger, you would never see him.
Yes. Oh God. Burger's a dad. Oh my God. That's so stressful. Oh, that's such a stressful emotion.
Bad news. Let's do another one. Okay. Here's a Burger one. Kellington 538 asks, do you think Berger's arc as the, quote, guy who can't deal with his girlfriend being more successful than him, end quote, arc was based on an amalgamation of the writer's own experiences at the time, which I realize is literally the case for the entire show. But I just think it's interesting that this is a storyline that came towards the end of the show because SATC would have been very well established at that point. So I wonder if the writers were basing Berger on people they were dating at the time who were probably much less professionally successful than them. And then there's a little follow-up. It says, again, the writers taking inspo from their own lives is literally the entire show, but it still got me thinking. Well,
okay. Can I just say that's such an insightful question? And yes. I love particularly the point about how it came later,
yes,
which I think is probably so true and something I've never thought about. And I love that I'm thinking about it now. The fact that they were the writers on the show.
Yeah.
100%. The show of the main show, such a game changing show. I'm sure that had to do with their own experiences.
1,000%. And also that Berger and Carrie are both writers, and Carrie's the much more successful of the two. It's such an interesting and natural thing to explore for the writers because at that time, who was more successful than them? In television, no one, basically.
Also, I think I know this isn't answering the question. I'm going to circle back. But when you really think about the Carrie and Berger storyline, it, I think that it's almost like an indie movie folded into a season of television. Like mm-hmm. the fact that they're both writers. I mean, again, I don't know why they didn't make him like a Brooklyn guy. I will never understand that.
Yes.
Maybe because they only knew like successful Hollywood writers who, you know, might look like, you know, a little Brooklyn because they like wear a hoodie or whatever, but then they also do go to the fucking Hamptons because they have so much money. So
yeah.
I think that's what was happening, and that's why they were conflating him on screen. But the more like selfless approach, I think, to writing Berger would just be to make him like full on Brooklyn novelist.
Yes, absolutely.
Wait, I had a point though. Oh, yeah, it was just that it's an indie movie. Yeah. You go, Sky. What were you going
to
say?
No. I agree with you. I agree with the inside of the question. Because also when we talked to Jenny, she was like very plainly saying that they mind their lives all the time. Like Samantha's cancer storyline came from Jenny having cancer. Like the show was so much so. And the core four were so much so just avatars for the writers. So like we didn't ask that question specifically, but like, I'm sure it was the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think writers date each other. That's the thing. I mean, all people in Hollywood, it's pretty incestuous, I would say. So, definitely a possibility. And, yeah, I don't really have much more to say about it, but I really do love how thought provoking that was. Because, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I think that's true.
Yeah. Oh, I like.
Which one?
Maya's question, because I had a thought about it.
Do it.
Well, so we got a couple of questions that are like related to this. Mm. So Maya Maharaj, who is wonderful and comments on our posts all the time.
She's great.
She asks, if you could redo any parts of the movies, what would you change? Additionally, I could probably listen to an entire episode of you three discussing themes / plot lines you want to see covered in the reboot, which sounds really fun. And we'll hang on to that for all three of us being here, I think.
Yeah.
But then the Linda Mayer asked, how would you have rewritten either or both of the movies? So we got a couple along those. And do you have an immediate thought? Because I had my friend and I who listens, we've discussed this, and I feel like I've come to a place.
Let's hear it. Tell us the insight.
I think that the fix for the movies, which I find ultimately frustrating while having like a lot of fun moments,
sure,
would have been to pitch them as a SATC, almost like cinematic universe before that was a thing. And you pitch four movies, one movie dedicated to a story, a 90-minute movie dedicated to a storyline for each of the main core four.
It's genius.
All of the four genius. Are in each of the movies, but you have
different thrust leads.
Of each movie being a Miranda storyline, each 100%. One movie being a Charlotte storyline, etc. Because then you also get four movies. They don't feel so overstuffed. Stuff gets its space to breathe. Like,
that is the main that's my main criticism of the movies, is that it feels like each movie, when they went in, they're like the studio heads, and you know this didn't happen because both movies did really well, but it feels like the studio heads were like, you get one shot, and they're like, oh, fuck, we have to do everything
1,000%
in 90 minutes. And I totally agree. I'm surprised they didn't make almost like a Marvel level type deal.
1,000%
for this world, because the movies are so successful. And you could also parse out the release of these movies. So, you know, it's not oversaturated.
It's also like, just to do like a very like basic point too, like there aren't many film franchises that are exclusively like centered around female heroes.
No,
so 100%. To just do four that are like a four movie franchise, like around these four women, feels like such an obvious and fun thing to have done that I wish they had done. It almost makes me wish that like, I'm not like a big like Marvel person or whatever, but like it makes me wish that the timelines for Sex and the City and Marvel were like a little closer together. So the model was there, and then the pitch could have been easier.
I also, another way you could go is because I think that the first Sex and the City movie, they clearly were like, it's going to be New York. New York's a fifth character. But I feel like with the one where they go abroad, it's like, I understand the impulse to be like, let's get these girls out of New York. Let's do something like new and fresh. Mm-hmm. So they could have done 4 movies and it could have been like New York, Paris, London, Tokyo.
Absolutely.
Or something that feels a little more.
Yeah, they're
the second movie.
Yeah. Well, they're also like Abu Dhabi. Like I made the point in one of the episodes that like Abu Dhabi was like having such a moment in like 2010. Like everyone, like Dubai was like the place to go and Abu Dhabi were the place to go. And so like now you would do like Tulum is like the place to go. Like it would be kind of fun to like to have a Sex and the City movie set in the current hot vacation destination a little bit and like. And take advantage of that rather than just doing New York because we have 6 New York seasons and taking the women around the world a little feels very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost if the first movie wasn't in New York, at least it would get your mind away from this is how it's supposed to look.
Sex and the Cities.
Yeah, Sex and the Cities. Oh my God, that's genius.
A terrible. That's what we're calling the franchise.
I don't think that's terrible. I think that's exact. I mean, you could see that poster.
I like it.
I think on the nose titles are important. I don't like clever titles. I think they're stupid.
It's also a matter.
I don't like smart things.
Tell me what I'm getting. don't be deceptive.
No, Sex and the Cities. It's good.
But it's also I agree that like I also made the point in one of our other episodes where it's just like these movies are about life. These movies are about these 4 women. It's fun to spend time with them. Like just cutting it off at the knees, it feels weird. Like it never makes sense to me. To not build a structure to just keep allowing for more stories. And Sex and the Cities, there are a lot of cities. You got to go to them all.
I also, it maybe could hinge on that. Because I didn't really think Samantha and Smith needed to break up. I think they could have gone through a rough patch, but I didn't really need that.
Agreed.
I think it would be fun if they did break up, but she's still his publicist. Mm-hmm. She's his publicist, right? Manager?
It's a little vague because she starts doing publicity.
Whatever. She's still like in his career. And it might be funny if he's shooting these movies all over the world and like she has to go. So she's just always taking the girls along.
Yeah.
So it's like, we have to go to Paris this time. Because that was basically the premise of the second movie.
Yes.
Is that like Samantha has to go to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. To speak to the Sheik. To do PR for one of his hotels.
Right. So it's like, I could see, or maybe it's not, if we don't want to make it around Smith, like Samantha just has to travel for work and she always brings her friends along. Like, I feel like that's really fun.
Absolutely. And it's also like, Carrie can write from wherever, like Miranda and Charlotte are like, are definitely wealthy enough to like work elsewhere or figure things out. Like, I don't really know what variety of law Miranda's in, but
said, circling back to your pitch, like, you know, each character is the thrust of their own movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You could still get to those cities with like other reasons. Like,
yes. Well, because also like say Miranda's like in corporate law or whatever, and she has to go to a bunch of different major cities to do on the ground law.
I understand. Okay. Yeah, I see where we're going.
Here I am. We all know I went to law school and get how it works.
Final draft. Put it down on the page. Yeah, that was great. So Sex and the City is obviously a very horny show. So we end each episode by sharing what we are currently horny for. Skylar, what are you horny for right now?
I have been listening to this musician recently named Lucy Dacus, who I didn't really know anything about until like very recently because she just put out this new album.
Spell the last name.
Dacus.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of these people who she's like in her 20s or whatever, and she's like put out 3 albums. They're all excellent. She like worked with like, she did this, she was a part of this group called Boy Genius with Julian Baker and
Phoebe Bridgers. Yeah, I was just listening to them.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, and definitely her new album, listen to her.
Yeah. Her new album, Home Video, rules. I've been listening to it so much. It's so good. It's
I'm
a little
new,
like
okay.
all over the place genre wise. Like they're like hard rock songs. There's like pop. There's like a little bit of like dream pop. Like it's like there's like a the album closed with like some 7 minute song. They're like 2:30 song. Like it's like all over the place in like the best way. Like she's doing everything.
Okay,
she's so cool.
Can we just say how, or can I just say how much I miss albums that close with like a 10 minute song?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a fucking cool move.
1,000%. Yeah. So you just been on a journey.
They're only in dreams. Every album should end with like that for whatever that the band's version of Only in Dreams is.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah,
just cover it. Just cover the entire song.
All albums should end with Only in Dreams by every band.
Every album by every band in every genre should end with that band's version of Only in Dreams.
I would love to hear a nice ska version of
Only in Dreams. I need a ska punk.
1,000%.
With a country bent. Yeah.
What are, but yeah, Lucy Dacus, love that album. Very horny for that album.
Okay,
very
glad to
learn about her. She's awesome. But what are you horny for?
I am horny for the audio version of articles on Apple News. I've been listening to, we talked about Autumn a couple of episodes back. Cause I was like, oh, it's so cool. You can just like listen to articles while you're walking. It's like really nice for multitasking, but now I realize like Apple News has a better version of it. So not like Apple needs my plug. I think they're doing pretty well as a company, I've heard. $1 trillion in revenue. But I do think I really do appreciate that some articles you don't have to read, because if you're busy, I don't think it's easy to just like sit down and read an article, but I also like don't want to miss anything. So I think it's, that's what I'm horny for.
Love that. Yeah, no, that's great. The New Yorker used to have this podcast that they discontinued, but it was very similar to that, where they would just have the author of a piece.
Reading it.
Yeah. Well, they would come on and talk about their piece in the magazine that week. It was like a 20-minute like little primer.
Oh,
I see.
Awesome.
But it was like similar, where it was like going to set you up for this exciting thing. But I love that, where you can actually hear the writer give
sometimes
you the info.
You know, I don't know that I'm like built for. I don't think I'm a great like audio listener. Like I tune out. I think of other stuff. Like, I don't know. I'll have to go back a lot. Like I'm always skipping 15 seconds back, 15 seconds back. But I do think it's better than nothing. So,
yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Between the two options, half listening or listening never.
Between half listening and listening, I'm going to go half. Wait, what? I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, between half listening and not listening at all, I'm going to go half listening.
1,000%, because then you're halfway there to listening. That's
you are halfway to, you know, and it's if you're an optimist, you are halfway to listening. And if you're a pessimist, you're only halfway to listening.
It's beautiful.
And I'm an optimist. And I fancy myself an optimist. Okay. I've hit that point where I've had too much coffee and I'm just not making sense. On that note,
I think we did great,
guys. It's
been
real.
We talked about Sex and the City.
We ultimately did. I think Old actually got more real estate than Sex and the City this episode, but I'm fine with that.
But it's also like anybody who's seen Old, this is how much you got to talk about it. For all the listeners who are fans of Old, this is a great Old episode as well.
It is. I feel like I had another thought on Old that I wanted to go out on. When I was watching the movie, I had a theory of what it was going to be about. And I just really missed the mark. And I'm annoyed because I really like, honestly, if you can like pull one over on M. Night Shyamalan, like you're a step ahead of him. Like, honestly, congrats and like pat yourself very hard on the back. Cause that's like special. Were you onto it at all?
Not what it ended up being, but I also,
What did you think it was?
Well,
you were just like along for the ride. You weren't trying to do that. You weren't like,
I mean, a little bit
doing
I was,
predictive
but it,
text like I was.
I was the slightest bit, but I also was like, it's a beach that makes you old. Like any explanation is not going to be that satisfying. And then I ended up, because actually I had my expectations pretty low for what the explanation was, I was more into the ultimate explanation because I found it like, oh, that's a fascinating reason for these people who are very well credentialed to justify killing a bunch of people, basically. That being the, like, we're doing medical
research.
But
you could do that. It doesn't. But then the implausibility of a beach that makes you old is what makes it stupid, because you could execute that. You don't need you don't need the beach part. You actually could set it in reality.
Yeah. No, the car that makes you old, the apartment that makes you old. Wherever
well,
you are.
Okay, no. I wasn't saying. I was talking about the apartment that makes you old.
A lot of things could make you old. People are.
The car that makes you old.
We need to get out of this car.
We have to crash this car. This car is making us so old. Oh my god!
I do want to hear what you're saying before.
That's not what I meant, but I don't even care about what I meant, because that is so funny.
Listeners,
I mean, can we do a web series where it's just a different setting that makes you old every episode?
Oh my, it is a good premise because of
it.
It
is
so
really
funny.
Oh my god. Okay. I think, I don't even care about my point. I don't care. Okay. Guys, we're going to end this episode. Did you have something else to say?
Text me your point, because I want to know the point. But like,
my point, okay, I'll try to make it succinctly. Because that is so fake, but then like the social commentary on like the Black Mirror-ness of like, oh, you could kill a few people to save like hundreds of lives.
Yes.
That is interesting. And that is a movie in and of itself. So I think what I'm saying is the beach part, it's like, well, that wouldn't happen.
Yes.
But the other one is like a cool sci-fi exploration of like, what if? And it actually could happen.
Yeah.
Like it is possible. I mean, no one's going to do that. It's illegal. But I'm saying like, what if that were legal?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
No, agreed. It's almost like that's one of the things that's like kind of frustrating about old, where
but
it's
also,
like,
just can I say that is also sort of what medical trials are.
Yes, it's true.
I watched
there are other people have thought of this. It turns out
they're like, you know, we have these like groundbreaking, you know, they tell you, they're like, yeah, you know, this groundbreaking treatment. And then like the person dies 3 days later and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Did you really think it was safe for that person?
But that's the thing too, where it's like there's almost like a weird imbalance, a structural imbalance. Like, I think the whole thing might work a little bit better almost if you don't treat the revelation of why the experiment is happening the way it's happening. That's the thing that makes it like twisty and a reveal. But like, actually, that premise is so interesting. And I kind of want to see the way those people morally justify what they're doing. Like,
same.
I'm interested in the lab side of things more than I am.
Yeah. I want more time
dying
in the lab, which I never thought I would say because the beach is prettier, but I do want more time in the lab.
Gotta
also
get lab.
Though, I think that old is an incredible title.
It is really good. I also love the poster. I gotta say that poster
with
the
poster's excellent.
Rules.
Title
the one
is
leg. Oh,
dead on the title alone. He deserves everything he gets for that title. It's so genius.
I also feel like talking it over. I'm liking it even more.
No,
like,
I think it actually is a good movie.
I'm like,
I think I actually really like old.
Listeners, go see old. Also, anybody who
I started this podcast going, guys, it is a spoiler alert, but don't worry. Don't waste your time seeing this movie. And now by the end of it, I'm like, you know,
like,
what?
We're like, old
it
is
has
important.
Its flaws, but old is important. It's a conversation starter.
Amazing. Okay, we'll see
you
next week.
Wow, we ended
listeners.
This podcast 4 times. Okay. Love you, Sky.
Love you.
Listeners, we will see you. Or you'll hear us next week. Rose will be back and we'll round this thing out. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Couldn't Help But Wonder. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CHBWPod. And follow my co-host, Rose Cerno, on Insta and Twitter at Rose Cerno. And please follow my co-host, Jamie, at ReallyJamieLee on Instagram and at TheJamieLee on Twitter. And please rate, review, subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app if you're nasty. It helps us, it helps you, it helps everyone.
You nasty. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.